What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Layover Podcast on the Lockman Network. We're interviewing a really fun guest for you guys today. We have Zachary Smith. Zach is the CEO of Anywhere, a travel company that blends human insight with smart technology to design authentic, personalized travel experiences around the world. Zach, I know it's been a minute trying to get this interview on the book, so thank you for hopping on and telling us a little bit about Anywhere and telling us a little bit about your travel journey.
Sure thing, Dylan. Yeah, great to be here. And yeah, it's certainly been a windy path, but you know, like most things, you just have to keep taking things step by step and learning and adapting. And I feel very fortunate to be able to participate in this space where really we have one primary intention is just make travel less stressful. And I think there's so many moving parts this day and age when it comes to travel, all the different recommendations that people have. I think it pulls people into this mode where there's a lot of stress or fear or uncertainty. And we really want to be the place where that ends.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, there's definitely a huge amount of fragmentation, and it's hard to trust your eyes now with creator culture. You know, influencers on the move can almost make a Motel 6 look good. And they can make a lot of locations like, you know, like with the over tourism, you know, thing. I was hearing about people like, you know, going to Croatia or Bosnia, some of these like Eastern Mediterranean blocks this summer. And like people are standing at the beach, like shoulder to shoulder because there's so many people. And, you know, like some of these places have only even allowed tourists into the country, like in, you know, since the 1980s, you know, there's not the infrastructure yet that is like allowing for, you know, some of these like viral moments in travel. So, you know, I think that's what we really, you know, try to do at Lawston as well is, you know, have a point of view, be a trusted voice, be a curator. We do it more from the editorial side. So I'm excited to kind of understand where our businesses overlap and zig and zag. But yeah, why don't you give me a little bit about your origin story to start? Where did you grow up? You know, where did you go to school? And what was the insight for how did you get into the travel industry? And then we'll get into, you know, how and why you started Anywhere.
Sure. Yeah. I grew up on the West Coast in Oregon, actually, right outside of the town of Eugene. So it was a nice little college town to grow up in. And one of three brothers, I'm the oldest. And my parents always wanted to just provide a good foundation and let us grow and make our own choices, make our own way in the world. They were people that left home growing up in Chicago. And so life was always kind of meant to be a journey, I think. And they went ahead and kind of called their own shot. And I got the middle name of Bonaventure. So I have just been trying to honor that every step of the way.
Let's go.
But, you know, after college, saved a little money painting houses because that's like a summer hustle in the West Coast, particularly in Oregon, in the rainy climates in the Northwest. That's just what happens. Houses get painted in the summertime. There's 3 or 4 months and that's when it gets done. And so I had some savings and I took a one-way trip to Oaxaca, Mexico.
Yeah.
So this was 2004 and it had been my third time outside of the U.S. So I was I did a study abroad in Europe previously, but this was, yeah, a big trip where there was a lot of unstructured time. And I just wanted to explore, get out of the rain, and read books and hang out. And one thing led to another, and all of a sudden I was living in Monteverde, Costa Rica, answering emails, helping people make reservations at hotels. And so it's just evolved naturally, you know, and then having like, learned a little bit about what people were going through pre-trip, you know, prior to arrival. And then having been to lots of these places, I felt like, oh, wow, this is a neat thing. You're helping to curate people's time. You're helping them alleviate that what if, or how does this next thing happen? will I have a good time? Because ultimately that's just what's on people's mind before they go on a big trip. And so I learned about that and ended up, deciding I wanted to start some websites in Costa Rica. And the first person I told happened to be right across from me on an aerial tram. And he's my business partner today. And he's a software engineer. And him and I have just been really co-creating this business and working with locals in each geography and try to do things the way they ought to be. But for us, what that really means is take the guessing game out of it and be accountable to each of our clients' experience. So we really just get into the weeds with them and understand who they are, what they want to experience, what constraints they have. And ultimately the result is peace of mind that clients have. And they reflect that back to us usually after the trip, because we've just been trying to do that at a little bit bigger scale each and every time and grow into our name, which again has its own story as well. But
we'll get into the origins of Anywhere, because I'm always obsessed with branding and not just like why does a business and what was the insight that came to create the company. But I think as a marketing and a advertising student myself, I'm obsessed with branding and names and logos and stuff like that. So we'll dive into that. So how long did you stay in South America after school? It seems like you were kind of down there traveling and being, adjacent to the travel industry, kind of helping people design their journeys. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much from a tech founder perspective just yet, but how long did you stay down there?
That was December 2004 until June of 2005. So that was about a 6.5 month run. And when I left Costa Rica in 2005 to go back home, it was once again the summer season, time to hustle, make some money painting houses. And then I started writing a business plan and getting my ideas clear on how I wanted to approach being involved in the travel industry. There was a couple websites that were for sale that I had negotiated with the owner, so they were going to be the first seeds of our business. So it's just to kind of acquire those, and then I returned down to Costa Rica in December 2005, and that was a really difficult thing, because there's this small little business that was there and all the people that were working there, they left right when I showed up, and I'm sitting there answering emails trying to keep this thing alive. And it was just a difficult thing because I didn't own these websites. I was working there and I didn't own them. Mm-hmm. So it took a couple months of me just got fed up with just working, and I walked away. And I said, hey, listen, I'm going to go do this on my own. I know what I'm going to do. I have a clear business plan. The gentleman that had those websites finally said, okay, come on back. Let's do the deal. And so I did it. And that just became the first project to fix up those websites. And then our first real expression was called anywherecostarica.com. And that was done in 2007. And that really was basically our expression to say, hey, let's do an online guidebook with trip planning and booking right there complimentary to it. And so we acquired a lot of traffic because we built up authority. I was going around to every national park, every hotel, every region, making maps, just really trying to tell the story of the whole country to give more people perspective about all the options they had. And so there was just a lot to tell about Costa Rica. And so, that was step one, really, is just to get that out. And, so I guess the seeds of Anywhere was right there in Anywhere Costa Rica.
Wow. So is that kind of, is Anywhere, like the parent company now, is that a offshoot of that original Anywhere Costa Rica, project? And now you're kind of like more of like a global holding company that does these anywhere you know, Australia, anywhere, blah, 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 like kind of doing these guides for different countries, but all under the Anywhere umbrella?
Yes, it evolved into that. I mean, actually, we were launching individual websites for a few years. So yeah, Anywhere Peru, Anywhere Guatemala, Anywhere Belize, etc. Even we were on the ground floor of Cuba when Cuba was a good place for Americans to go during the during the people-to-people wave. You know, we built a trust network there and we're helping lots of people. And I mean, it was a bummer that, you know, for not just for ourselves, because we invested a lot in that, but just tragedy for the, you know, the people of Cuba, that it's another lost generation not being able to, you know, host and basically earn more income by celebrating their culture and sharing it with other people, with visitors. It's all still controlled by the government. So, you know, I've always thought that, you know, these emerging destinations were where a lot of opportunity was, but that's kind of come back and burnt me a couple times.
Because it's risky, yeah, right? Yeah. It's risky. You know, like we do our guidebooks in Boston, you know, we do very, very established, you know, like Venice Beach, California, and major, you know, 29 major cities around the country. So, but you know, I mean, I think there's two sides to that coin, right? I think on one hand, you know, it's safe to, you know, pick big cities because you've got a lot of options and a lot of storytelling opportunities, and you've got, you know, opportunities to refresh the guides. And it's funny because we're analog, we're paper, we don't have a digital side, and you guys are digital. I don't know if you have a paper version as well, but, you know, like, I think like that's part of like the adventure mentality, right? Is like kind of going into that undiscovered area. Like I talked to a guy that does safaris in Tunisia yesterday, or in Tanzania, I think, actually, that's probably right. Yeah. And, you know, they're trying to take a more conservationist approach to safaris. And, you know, like, it's like these uncharted, like, you know, places that not everybody's been or fewer people have been. I think, like you said, that's the opportunity. But then, you know, some of those places are less stable than more traveled locations, you know, that have been around for a while.
And so that is part of what we're figuring out. And these days, you know, for our repeat clients, we are able to plan their trips anywhere. So we have active, you know, we have travelers in Greece right now. We have a whole bunch of people going to Japan later this year and next year. We're in the process of opening that up to more. But, you know, since our work is, it is time intensive for us to really relate with each client and really curate their experience. If we just open up the front door, we can get a lot of people just filling out forms and wasting our time. And so there's a balance there that we're also trying to have. But, you know, certainly growing into the name Anywhere has sometimes felt like a big burden. But you know, I think little by little we've stuck with it, and it's starting to become a little bit more real. So I think that's one of the other lessons, is just really having an intention to help people, and then they want you to be in more places. So that's kind of been our, you know, major catalyst, is just clients really want us to be in more places available to them because they really like the experience.
That's awesome. So you talked about the original business model being these kind of anywhere dot destination sites and URLs. But as I hear you talk about the business more, it almost sounds like you become like a white glove travel agency in a way, where you can help people plan their trips anywhere, not just to the destinations that you've built these interactive guidebooks and featured different locations and done the curation. Can you tell me about like what's the state of the business model today, and what should a customer expect if they come to you guys? You know, what is the value proposition as it stands today?
Yeah, I mean, really what we try to do is, again, just understand this client. So like our core values are, you as an individual are unique. Therefore, we want to get to know what's unique about you and what's kind of motivating this trip. And then we're playing the roles of matchmaker. So each geography, there's a team of local experts that help design that trip specifically for you and are accountable to that. And what that ends up doing is just allows that client to just relax and just breathe. Because again, there's so much pressure to figure out your own trip. You know, if you're the busy mom with a teenager and you know, a husband that doesn't care, but is going to be critical if it's not great, you know, like all these things start to, you know, be a weight. And we want to be that pressure release valve. And so, I mean, again, it's just, I think there's so many things in the travel industry that just actually create more stress. They say, hey, follow this thing and you know, this new app and this thing here and this thing here. And they're just pulling people apart. And
yeah, it's like information overload sometimes.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we just want to be, hey, we're with you. And so the other thing about having that local expert in each geography is if you get sick, if, you know, your flight is delayed, if you want to change an item on your trip because, you know, you have more energy or you have less energy, whatever it is, it's one message away and the entire thing shifts. And so the actual amount of time that someone is just feeling, oh my gosh, I have to do this. And how do I get this done? And how do I get from point A to point B to point C? All of that stuff is connected with us. So in the, you know, the big tech guys, you know, booking.com, Expedia, I mean, they've always talked about this connected trip. This is this thing that we're going to birth eventually because of some super sophisticated, say, AI that is going to put all the shattered shards of this industry back together. And we say, no, you have to start from a single point of responsibility and one transaction that is going to facilitate your whole experience. And that's where Anywhere is a connected trip. So like an accordion, we adjust in real time. Anytime a client desires a shift or an adjustment. So yeah, that's again, one of these ways in which I think naturally stress reduces. Therefore, they're more present. They're more able to connect with the geography that they're visiting. And so memories are going to be easier to make. They're going to be more attuned to all that they're seeing and experiencing when they're not so worried about what was going to happen next or what happens if something goes wrong here. Or, hey, my daughter is sick. Who's going to help me get the right medicine at the right time? And so we just do all those things.
I love it. I love it. It's, you know, it's refreshing because, you know, like you said, I think technology has been an amazing boon for travel. Like, I think, you know, I think about my first trip to Europe with my wife, you know, the idea that we were going to land in Paris for a 2-week trip with no hotel reservation except the 5 days that I was going to be in Amsterdam for a conference. You know, land in Paris, not have a hotel room that night. Rent a car the next day, not have reservations, not know where we're going to go. Knowing that we eventually had to be in Amsterdam at a certain time and we had to be back to the airport was the only like solid things in our trip. You know, like for the most part, those types of like that. When I tell people how I travel, a lot of times they're like, no, that would stress me out too much. And I would say like 95% of the time it goes perfect. I've learned a couple of hard lessons, like sometimes Airbnb people don't get back to you even when you make a booking. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be an instant booking. And, you know, sometimes a booking.com listing is like just some random apartment that somebody threw up on their thing. And, you know, you show up and no one's there to check you in and get you keys or whatever. So like, you know, I think like you said, technology has given us an endless sea of options in a great way to kind of like, we always talked about like, you know, going on a road trip in Europe, could you ever do that before you had Apple Maps? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like what you're like, what, out there with a Thomas guide or something like that, trying to figure out how to get to point A to point B. But I think it also creates, you know, opportunities for speed bumps along the way where, you know, I've had a booking.com reservation with a host, you know, a house host, and then I show up and the guy only speaks French. Mm-hmm. And then you're trying to like use the translation app. So, you know, I think like the idea of like you know, a tech-enabled concierge or a tech-enabled travel guide is interesting. So tell me a little bit about the intake process. So somebody discovers anywhere.com and they land on the site and they're interested. How do you kind of intake that customer? What do they do and what does the process look like?
Sure. Yeah. Ultimately they are deciding a geography to go to, giving us a little information about who's going, the general vibe of their trip. And then again, we're trying to understand what they like, what they don't like, what are the must do or experience things. And these then help us orient how to structure time. There's budget constraints, of course, but any one of these locations, this is the funny thing about travel, is you think of like dates, room types, parties, and then all the experiences that are happening in one location, not just to mention all the different locations, you just start getting into this tyranny of choice. It's like this infinite sort of problem that starts to show up. And so when they give us their preferences, which only takes 2 to 3 minutes, they're going to get a first draft of a day by day itinerary that then becomes like a deeper conversation. So there's your 12 days, here's your 15 days, here's your 7 days. This is how we're structuring it. What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? They can comment on each item. And then we'd like to have phone calls. We want to communicate with the customer because that's how they understand we care. We're not just this app that spits this out automatically. Yes, we have some efficiencies in the back end, but ultimately we're a human to human business. We value connection, and connection means people connecting. And we want that cultural experience to begin when they're working with us. Because again, it's Peruvians communicating and designing your trip for Peru. It's Vietnamese designing and helping you plan your trip to Vietnam. This is the fabric, this human network that we really believe in and want to continue to grow.
I love that. So that answered kind of one of my questions is, so it sounds like your intake process is, you know, they hit the website. The first step is they fill out some information either through like forms and surveys. And then the goal is to eventually have a human to human interaction, kind of interact directly with your guide, so to speak. How fast is that first itinerary generated? Is it like almost instantly through kind of AI assisted, kind of pulling things together, or does it take some time to get that first draft?
We do it during business hours. So okay. Yeah, within an hour and a half, it depends on the, the time it's received, but yeah, we definitely less than 24 hours.
Wow.
It's about being like a home for this person's anxiety or stress. Like this is the home in which that stuff can go away because we're that trusted source. I don't know if you looked at Trustpilot, but we have a 5.0 rating on Trustpilot.
Wow.
We really do a good job client by client because it's our intention, so it is to help them travel better, to be relaxed as they're having this once in a lifetime experience in a faraway place where they don't speak the language. And yes, maybe they will fall in love with the culture and they'll come back year after year, but oftentimes these are just one-off trips where every moment matters.
I love that. So when somebody is picking a geography, are they picking a country, a region, a city? How dialed down do you go?
At this point, we do countries. There is a service we're offering to our repeat clients where we're helping them choose between, maybe 4 or 5 different geographies that they have on their list. And that does help again, that's, you know, this tyranny of choice, like, you know, you can get flights anywhere. You know, you can pick a destination out of a hat and, you know, it could be a great trip. So like, there's a lot of choice these days again. And so it's like, well, okay. So what time of year do you want to go? Who's going? What are the ages of the kids? What are the type of experiences that are going to be happening there? So we try to just find all those congruencies to help them make the best choice. And again, we don't try to tell people what they have to do. We just want to advise and co-create this trip, because ultimately, if we're just selling something, you know, they're going to feel that, like, oh wow, this is just a sales process. They need to feel that, hey, we're designing this journey for them and only them. That's where our attention is, and that's what they're going to feel when they work with our team.
That's cool. For the local experts, are they kind of just people that they're going to interface for the planning and like in case anything goes wrong, or are they actually like, are they tour guide level, you know, like when they appear in country?
Generally not tour guide level.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's a separate, those are our supplier partners, and every now and again, I mean, there's a lot of client and designer conversations that happen, and, you know, there's hugging that happens, like they'll maybe want to go out to dinner or meet up at some point, and that does happen. But most of the time, it's just it's a WhatsApp group that is made for, you know, for the client upon arrival, to for them to know that, hey, we're here, so just ping us anytime if something comes up. And then, yeah, private drivers or naturalist guides or city guides, just depending on the series of experiences the client designs. And again, sometimes these trips can get real complex. So we've organized 70. Is that a plane in the background?
Let's. I got my headphones on, so I'll
good
on my end for a second.
No, it's like, it was pretty, I mean, we're on a travel podcast and there's a plane, so it makes sense. There was a client, so we've orchestrated 70 plus services. So that's a lot of point to point things that could go wrong. And when they don't, that's kind of where the transformation begins, where people feel like, oh my gosh, if I work with this team, they're going to make this trip happened exactly the way I imagined it. And so that seamless experience has something that is felt. It's sometimes hard to find the right words to help people get the value. But again, we're in it for the long haul. And we think that felt experience is what helps us continue to get recommended, and hopefully, you know, we'll sustain our growth.
That's awesome. So how do you guys decide to open up a new country, new location, new region? Is it based on like customers coming to you saying, hey, I'd really love to go there? And then once the demand equals, you know, how many customers have mentioned that, then you're like, all right, we better open up that territory.
We've done surveys like that before. We've done gut instinct. But yeah, we have a little bit better process now. I mean, we're very close to launching Mexico. And so actually probably by the time this comes out, Mexico will be launched. And that's a big geography for us. It's been over a year of work.
Wow.
to really get that network organized. And we're not trying to do the Cabos and the Cancuns. We're trying to really get people into the heart of Mexican culture. There's so many flights that go to Mexico, and too often people are just, you know, going to a big all-inclusive resort, part of a industrialized sort of consumption engine. And we really feel that that's a missed opportunity. And, you know, so eco, cultural, sustainable travel is what we're all about. We want to enable that, because I think there's so much more value and real memories that get made, that, again, that's where we focused. We're not just trying to sell a package for less. We're trying to allow for more experience to be created each trip.
Yeah. I'm especially lucky because I live 30 minutes from Tijuana, so I can go over the border and jump on a flight and go to like lots of places in Mexico for not much money.
Those domestic flights in Mexico are great.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Just opens up the aperture a little bit, and you know, like local Mexico to Mexico legs are to some of those locations that you're talking about that, you know, are not the places you go to an all-inclusive. It's a place you go to have like a real cultural experience. Mm-hmm. How do you define transformative travel? Because I know that's a big philosophy for you in designing itineraries. Like, I've heard that concept come up more and more, the idea that people are traveling. It's kind of like the Eat, Pray, Love movie. Like, people are traveling not just to, like, you know, go on vacation, let off steam, get away from work. They want to, like, they want to be altered by the time they come back from their trip. So how do you define transformative travel?
Yeah, it's kind of all encompassing where, hey, we're connecting you with this authenticity that is felt. We're accountable to your experience. And so we're taking that stress off of all those choices and that uncertainty that you might have as a modern traveler. And we believe that feeling is something that's felt and unique to each person. And again, we're not trying to get people on tour buses and into buffet lines. You know, we're trying to get them into that real world. We are very firmly putting our flag into Team Real World, and travel is a unique opportunity for people to really have these eyes up experiences with the world. And we just want to be a part of that.
That's cool. You mentioned scale. What's the biggest challenge you face in scaling? Because it feels like a very personalized service. So, you know, I imagine there's a lot of vetting in supply relationships, local experts, probably the intake people on your end who essentially create the, you know, the itineraries or interface with the client. So that takes a lot of like very intentional staffing decisions. And then, like we already talked about, the challenges with opening up another country. So what is your biggest challenge with scaling the business, and how do you do that intentionally?
It's one client at a time, one step at a time. We are an organic business. So the reason why we exist is because clients have decided that we should exist, and we want to keep leaning into that. And sometimes, yeah, the flashy headlines of some startup in travel tech that just raised $20 million or something is like, whoa, what's going on over there? And we're just trying to take action and do it and actually execute versus pitch it and sell it and spend years trying to solve a really complicated problem. Travel planning is a really difficult problem. You take on a lot of human emotion, human, you know, they're communicating their anxiety sometimes towards us. Like, there's sometimes 30, 40 emails that go back and forth. But again, it's all about trying to achieve that stress-free travel. And again, once we convert somebody, they want us to exist in more places. And so we're going to keep working that problem. And it requires patience.
I love it. What role do local communities and cultures play in anywhere's operations? You know, you talked about the idea of having these local experts. I think that's something that people are looking for more and more, is having a experience that allows them to, like you said, actually like live like a local, go and eat at the places where locals eat and play, see the things and do the things that they do. They don't want to go to the big kind of like check the box, you know, off the tour guide or like the most popular thing on TripAdvisor. They want to have experiences that the cultures in which they're visiting experience every day. How do you tap into those local communities?
Well, you just you must involve the locals. That's number one. Mm-hmm. So they're part of our value chain. They're critical to our business. They are ultimately the ones that are taking this responsibility that a visitor is having in their country. So we want to build tools for them. We want to enhance their ability to be the best version of themselves and help transmit that feeling that they have. They have pride in their country, they have pride in their culture, they have pride in their communities. And we just want to really continue to be that enabler for them to have more say in their own travel industry and how people move through their town or their country. And when I started this business, it was just one country. It was Costa Rica, and it was local business. Had a office there of about 35 people, bank accounts, merchant accounts, all this stuff there. We were an elite certified business by the Tourism Board of Costa Rica. So we did everything the right way. When COVID hit, we had to shed that structure because it was impossible for us to survive if we didn't, reduce our size and how we structured our business. So that was a very hard thing. Luckily, a lot of the core team is back working with us, but some are not. They did other things with their life, which, I think our business always gave them a good solid foundation to be employable by anyone in the tourism industry or otherwise. Some of our team members decided they wanted to be nurses or wanted to be lawyers or wanted to be work in medicine. So there's all sorts of different things that have happened, to the team as it's evolved over time. And some people have been with us for 18 years now.
Wow.
So they're there because they like it, and it's working for them, their families, and their communities.
Love it. Can you tell a story of a traveler's experience or feedback that you guys got that deeply affirmed the direction you're taking with the company is the right one?
Well, oftentimes it's when something goes wrong, people really get that feeling that they're part of a trusted network. Someone has their back, even though they're far away from home. So, it's not uncommon for people to get a little sick. It sometimes happens before they even arrive in the country. They're just tired and exhausted. And so really common in places like Cusco, where people arrive and they have altitude sickness and they don't feel good. And we are advising them on which pharmacy to go to, what medicine to get in advance of arrival. And then if something still goes wrong, we have doctors on call that can go and meet them right at the hotel. And so all they have to do is say the words and the network responds because we're there for them. That's what our brand is built on, is reducing the stress so you can enjoy your travel. When everyone just wants to facilitate a transaction and then just not be accountable to anything, then I think that that's a disservice to really this cross-cultural moment that exists when people are experiencing a culture.
I love that. So looking forward to the next 5 to 10 years, where do you see the business growing? Where do you want it to be in the future?
Want to be anywhere. Want to be known as the most trusted brand in travel and a place where stress stops and the world opens up.
I love that. All right. So we're going to get into some questions about your personal travel experience. Won't be too long, but what's the most transformational trip that you've ever been on and why?
Oh gosh, you're making me think. Well, I think we were, my wife and our two kids, we were in Porto, Portugal.
Yep.
And we, like you, you know, there's certain places where you're like, I don't need to make so many plans. And so this was sort of that for us. You know, we had a apartment we were staying in. But ultimately my wife just absolutely, like, she's of Asian descent and loves the little bocarones, like fish things. And it just so, you know, and these, like, sometimes these serendipities are just so cool, because like right across the street was this little bar, and this guy was so cool and friendly. He saw us coming in and out a couple times, and he's like, come on over, come on in. He invited us in. And he just so happened to actually like specialize in these little bocarones. And it just made my wife happy that, you know, she was getting that type of food. It's very nutritious. It's like, if everyone ate those instead of French fries, I think Americans would be a lot healthier. You know, I mean, I like the little moments. I mean, just a feeling at peace when you're far away. It's easier maybe for me to feel comfortable in some of these places. I'm a tall, you know, guy. I speak Spanish. I can do okay in some other languages. I try to be friendly and, you know, open, and that generally serves me really well. But I just love that experience of, you know, being with your loved ones and moving through this world, because I think there's so much to explore and experience. And these perspective generating experiences are what gets me into the business. You know, I love it.
Love it. What is on your bucket list to do next? Where do you want to go? What's something that you haven't tackled or explored yet that you are excited about visiting?
Japan. I haven't been. Ooh. It's hot for everybody, I think, for a reason. A whole society that, you know, is built on, you know, sort of this like unspoken manner of Zen, or, you know, just like taking accountability for your own actions and doing things for the benefit of the whole, is a culture that as Americans we don't really experience that often. Like certain places we do, but it's generally, you know, kind of this, you know, just, you know, fight for yours kind of a place. And I'm looking forward to experiencing a civilization that just sees it differently.
Yeah, I love that. Obviously, the power of the yen this year for the against the American dollar has been pushing people to go on ski trips in Japan. It's like less expensive than going to Mammoth. We re-released our Tokyo guide this year and updated it because it was so popular. Japan's definitely having a moment. And I think that's definitely on my list too, because, you know, my middle daughter, she's just kind of like into that culture, you know, like the anime and the, you know, like the Japanese style and the skincare products. But also, like, my girls have been eating like omakase raw sushi since they were like 4 years old. So it's like their favorite food too. So yeah, I think that's on mine too. Hopefully we'll get it done soon.
Totally. Yeah. I'm with you. Maybe this year.
All right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, fingers crossed. All right, Zach, this has been fascinating. If you want the Lost In viewers to learn more about Anywhere, where should they go? Where do you want us to support you and check out what you're doing?
Go to the homepage. And if you can't find what you're looking for, just email me. B@anywhere.com is my email address, the letter B at anywhere. I am responsive and I'm here to support you wherever you want to go. We're
Love it, man. Awesome. Well, for all of you who are tuning into the Layover podcast, If this is the first time you're seeing the show, don't forget to give us a follow or a subscribe. If you are listening to the show, if you give us an honest review on audio platforms, that's where we find a bigger audience organically. And last but not least, if there's someone out there in your life who you think could use a little less stress in their travel planning process, want some of that hands-on human touch, and want to rely on the cultural expertise of experts, people who live and embody and spend time in these cultures every single day because that's where they're from, don't forget to share the show. And with that, I will bid you a farewell. Thanks so much, Zach. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely, John. Real pleasure.
See you later.